In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. You can help all this morning. And when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, when I am alone, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, when
grace is made new by the dear Lord, Father, we are so thankful. We're thankful for your many gifts, dear Lord. Father, we're so thankful for your protection. We're thankful for your provisions, dear Lord. We're thankful for health, dear Father. We're thankful for your precious word, dear Lord. We're thankful for we are thankful for your precious Son, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you, Father. Thank you for allowing us together this morning, dear Lord, to come together and to worship, to fellowship, and to honor you, Father. And it's in Jesus' name I pray and I thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
So, James Brown. Favorite topic depending on the day, and not so favorite topic depending on the day. My journey and testimony. I was explaining to Zach, were you, did you get introduced this morning? Okay, and of course, Devin is here. Jamie, great to see you, my friend. But I was telling Zach that because it's been so difficult and challenging in the last few months to get speakers and particularly clergy, we have recently asked all the guys to be prepared to come and share with the group their testimony and their journey. And that's pretty much what we've been doing the last few weeks. I understand I missed excellent message from Mr. Wilson last week. That was more structured. You will not get structured this morning. You will get what the good Lord will. So here we go. So for you that have been around a while, most of you know my history. I was born in Shreveport, Louisiana, in 1955, and to Eugene and Louise Brown. A couple of my most favorite memories of my childhood was the love I had for my father.
Amen.
And I remember quite often, After school, I would come home and I would be standing at the door waiting on daddy to get home. And he had this powder blue Ford Chevy, I don't remember exactly. But I'd be standing there at the door waiting on daddy to come home. And as soon as that car pulled up in the driveway, I'd go busting out of the door and running out to meet him. And but I had an uncle that had the same color car, but it was a Chevy, it was a different model. But he pulled up one day, and I remember he pulled up in the driveway, and I go busting out of the door, and so I was my uncle, and one of my favorite uncles, but it wasn't daddy. It wasn't my father. And but that was one of the precious memories. One of the earlier memories as well too was there were six of us, six kids, four boys and two girls. And my fondest memory, and this would have been about 1960, 61, that mom, every Sunday morning, we would go to church. And six kids holding hands, walking down this dirt road in rural Cattle Parish, Shreveport, Louisiana, going to church on a Sunday morning. And that is so many precious memories that take me back to my beginning and my foundation and getting rooted in Christianity and the knowledge of God and the love of Jesus Christ. In 1962, I was finishing up my second year of elementary. Back then we didn't have kindergarten, so you know, we went straight to first and second. But in 1962, my mother left my father because of it was an abusive relationship. And she took the six kids and we left Shreveport and got on a train and went to Kansas City. And again, being 7 years old, I didn't know what was going on. But I remember crying like a baby on that train when we left. Because my father was a bigot. Even though Zach put off, I'm gonna put you on the spot. There was a time when we had attending members that if something went south, you can call them in a moment and to bring a message. And so I'm just letting you know, if I totally fall apart here, would you back me up and come bring us a good word?
I think you'll be all right.
Dale Valente. Did I pronounce that right? Is it Dio or Dale? Dale Valente. I heard that word a few months ago, a Latin word that means God willing, if God wills. So I will be all right if the good Lord wills. And if he says the same. I had a situation Sunday after church here, and I had a couple of our church members come up to me. And I don't know what I had said, but they were adamant that I didn't have the right attitude about my situation and my health. and that I should be thinking about dying and going on to glory. And they prayed for me and told me that they were claiming healing for me, and that don't even think about that. I wasn't done here on this earth. And I'm thinking in my back of my mind, Dale Valente, if God's will, I will be healed. If he does not heal, well, he's going to heal. I will get the ultimate healing.
There you go.
So, but 1962, my mother left my father, took us to Kansas City, which was really tough. But in 1962, there was a court battle in the great state of New York, Engle versus Vitale. And this was the year that prayer was taken out of school in 1962. And there was a prayer called the Regents Prayer. And here is what the fight was over, and kids were asked to repeat this prayer every morning when they went to school. And it went, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessing upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. And because the kids were asked to recite that prayer every morning before school, it offended a Jewish gentleman and a couple of other folks, and they got together and went to the school board and went to all the way up to the Supreme Court. And in a 6-1 ruling, the Supreme Court decided that reciting that prayer was illegal according to the First Amendment and the Establishment Clause, and that the state could not form a church. And when I heard that, the first one of the scriptures that came to my mind was, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that's Psalms 33. And again, this was in 1962. As we were going to Kansas City, I thought of all the things that I'd seen in our home with my father and my mother. And while being a child, didn't totally understand what was going on, but was greatly impacted by that situation. And in 1967, I remember as a teenager, my mother had this collection of Bible books, and they were mostly Old Testament stories. Samson and Delilah, King David and Goliath, the book of Judges, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all these classic Old Testament stories. And I remember reading those books regularly. And I wasn't a reader, but that was one thing. I did not have to be told or asked to do. It was just something about the scriptures and those stories that pulled me into the knowledge of God, His Son Jesus, and His love for us. In 1973, I graduated from high school. And in 1973, anyone to call the big Supreme Court battle that went in 73, January 73, abortion was legalized. Jane Doe versus Roe. And Roe was the AD, or the Texas Attorney General who fought against Norma McCarthy, and which in a 7-2 decision, the Supreme Court went in favor of Jane Doe, and abortion was legalized. So when I started my elementary education, prayer was being taken out of school. When I ended my public high school education, abortion was being legalized. When last I checked, there's been over 55 million babies aborted. And for me, that is, I believe that is probably will be one of our greatest sins against God as a people, as a nation. And try not to think of the consequences. But when I think of that, that's the abortion. I think of the scripture that the sixth thing that God hate, yea, seven is an abomination, and six things that God hate. That is Proverbs 6:16-19, I believe it is. And the six things that the Lord hate, seven that are detestable to me: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to run into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. But the hands that shed innocent blood, we had on our Wednesday morning men's group a few weeks ago, one of the guys asked the question, why does bad things happen to good people, to Christians? And there was some back and forth on that. And I, in all my great wisdom, spoke up and said, I believe the Bible teaches us that at the end of the day, none of us are good. None of us are innocent. I believe in Psalms 51, King David talks about how we are shaped in iniquity, and through sin, our mothers gave birth to us. So we come into this world not innocent and not good. Ezra chapter 9, verse 13, that's the only place in the King James Version that uses the word deserve. And in that scripture in Ezra, it basically says that
Every day we wake up, we should be thankful that we don't get what we deserve. Thank you.
But what year was it?
You're 18 at this point.
I was 18. And it was a long road. So really quick, I'm going to just count through this. In 1978, one of the major events in my life, I had a great computer operator job in Kansas City, and comes back to Kansas City where I met my beautiful wife, Andrea, who also worked for Commerce. I was in computer operations since she was in employees benefits, minding her own business.
Girl looks so good.
Yeah. Anyway, but in 1978, I was, one of the things I did for recreation and for fun, the little gang I hung out with, we loved to drink, we loved to smoke, we did all the drugs, hash, marijuana, cocaine, no needles or anything. But we would party, listen to music, and just hang out. But one night after doing that, I walked into my parents' home. I was still staying with them, I was 23. And I walked in the back door, and my mother is in the kitchen. And I walk in, and Mama looks at me, and she see my eyes are blood red, all this stuff and everything. And Mama drops her head. And she says, "Oh, Jean, no." That day, I decided to quit my computer operator job with the bank and join the military. And that's when I went into the Army. Mm-hmm. Because I love my friends. I love that life, and I didn't think I could disassociate with them other than just separate, totally separate. So I joined the Army. I go to Fort Sill, Field Artillery, for my training for 3-4 months. After that, I go to my permanent assignment was in Schofield Barracks, Waiheke, Hawaii. And I get to Schofield Barracks, and my very first night, I get to my permanent duty station over there. A guy comes over to my room, knocks on my door, and asks me, "Do I get high?" So the very thing that I was running from in Kansas City, thousands of miles away, I ran from there, got all the way to Hawaii, and that same sin, that same temptation was standing there at the door, just waiting for me. The one thing I wanted to mention with my mother's response, and I'm gonna have to cut this short. I'm not even close.
We know that.
But the hurt that I caused my mother, when she said, "Oh, gee, no." I think of the many times that I've heard the father, and we were talking in our men's group, Tuesday morning, Carl and Ed, it was a couple more. We were talking about God repenting. And we all know that when God doesn't print repent as his creation repents. He doesn't change his mind and turn around and go in a different direction. But I believe it's two times in the Bible where God talks about he repented in Genesis 6:6 when he created man, and again in the book of Samuel when he made Saul king. But when you pull up that word repent, the definition is he had a great sigh. It just, look at my creation. Look at what they're doing. Saul, why? I only asked three things of you, of all of us, to listen to me, trust me, and obey me. That's all he wants us to do. Listen, trust, and obey. When I stop and think back on the many times that I've done things, I don't have to look back too far either, fellas.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I mean, Brian, coach, when did you... Do you think there's any hope for me? Deo Valente. Deo Valente. The Lord, if the Lord will. And I know there's hope. This is me. Y'all know me. What love. Agape love. It's kind of like God's glory. Can you even define it or put a definition to it? What he puts up, I'm out of time. I did want to mention just real quick. I'm gonna give you 2014 is when I have my first, January the 21st. It's when I have my first of eight cardiac arrest. This coming January, big 10 years, and I'm due to have the battery replaced in my ICD, so please keep me in your prayers. When I went down, and I think I've told the story, I know I have. When I went down the first time playing basketball, we never did get a chance to lace them up and get on the court. But when I went down that first time and I came through, I was so blessed and fortunate that the guys I was playing with knew first aid CPR. And they did their thing, the rec center in Longmont. They had a defib, they brought me back. And I remember waking up and telling the guys that, you know, I didn't know if I should be happy and thank them or smack them around, because I could have been in glory, you know, not having to put up with all this.
He was not happy.
But, the most recent thing, and I'm gonna quit, I apologize, guys. This new AI, artificial intelligence revolution. A few weeks ago, when I was listening to the 60-minute broadcast with the Google CEO and all that and everything, and did any of you happen to see that? Did you Bob, did you catch, and it's hard to find, but there are links with this title, and I forget the gentleman's name, the CEO for Google. He said they are developing AI to save man from himself. And he gave some others, but, and of course, Acts 4:12 says salvation is found in no one else. For there is no name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is no other name given under heaven to which mankind can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Only Jesus can save. He has come, he has overcome sin and the power of darkness.
Yes.
Dear Lord, thank you for this time, dear Father. Father, I pray that the words that have been spoken, dear Lord, have been encouraging and uplifting, dear Father. And that through all the yik and the yak and the words, that the stuff that you are seeing in all of this, dear Lord, and that we all know you are the reason for all things. Your Son, Jesus, is our greatest gift. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, another wonderful gift. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But your love, Father, we're so thankful. Thank you, Father. Please bless these men and their mind. It's in Jesus' name I pray and I thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen.